We have been touching on a series on holiness, and we will conclude that series. Now, from time to time, we will touch again on holiness, but it will be series 2. So let's just look at holiness and all that we have done so far. And we have mentioned that the word holiness is a word that is sometimes translated as sanctify. And so when you read in the English Bible, the word holy, sanctify, whether it be in the Old Testament or in the Greek New Testament, it is the same word. It's our English that differentiate the word holiness and sanctify, when both actually are the same. And of course, when you have a word, you have the different forms of the word, like the adjective, the noun, etc. But they're all from the same root word, which means holiness. Or, in its effect, separation unto God. Now, there's another word that we need to look at as it ties to holiness. And we realize that holiness is an impartation from God, and holiness is consecration or setting ourselves apart unto God. And we realize that holiness can be progressive, as we saw in the Bible. And then we need to look this morning at how holiness relates to another word, righteousness. Righteousness. So there's holiness, there is righteousness. And in both the Greek and the Hebrew, the word holiness and righteousness are two different words, which means they are two different concepts. Let me just look at the Greek section in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, talking about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. It says here, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification." Now that's the word holiness. "And redemption." So the concept of righteousness and the concept of sanctification are two different concepts in the Bible. And they use two different words. In the Old Testament, the word righteousness is the word tzedek. And it has many forms. It has tzedek, tzedeker, etc. But you find it's the basic from the root word tzed, tzedek. And it all refers to righteousness from the same Hebrew root. And that word translated by some people, some translators as righteousness, justice, rightness. And all those things, they are involved in what we understand to be righteousness. In the New Testament, which is from the Greek, the word righteousness is from the word dikaios. And there are all the different forms of dikaios, as usual. But basically, it's from the Greek word dikaios. And it also means the same thing as it does in the Hebrew, the word tzedek, which means righteousness, rightness, justice, etc. So why did God use a different word for righteousness from holiness, when in most of our mind we realize that holiness and righteousness are related? Correct. All of us know they are related. That when you're holy, you are righteous. When you're righteous, yes, you must be holy. The question is, what is the relationship? Now, let's have some open questions. And I asked for definitions of holiness and some of you said Christ-likeness. And now let's look at righteousness and holiness. What is the relationship? What are the differences? Well, let's define righteousness first. Righteousness, some definitions from you all. Yes, right standing with God, that's a good one, direct from the Bible in Romans 5. You stand right with God. You're justified by faith in Christ. Some more coming from you? Legal and relational right standing with God. Praise God. He's sounding like Charles G. Finney now. Somebody tell me what's the legal and relational experience of standing with God. Another way of putting it is how that it's been done inside God's standing, and the relational is your experience side. So he's bringing two definitions there. Any others on righteousness? Okay. Now that we have a few little definitions of righteousness, what is the difference between righteousness and holiness? Now, I've been a Christian since 1976, and attended church. I was in a Baptist church before, and then went to different churches, and was never told in my entire Christian life by any preacher what the difference was. They did cover righteousness once in a while, holiness once in a blue moon. We didn't know that we have to be holy. We didn't know we have to be righteous. But what is the difference between holiness and righteousness? There must be a difference, otherwise the Bible wouldn't use two different concepts, two different words. Yes. Very good. The lady of the word, eh? Yes, that gives you a little bit of concept, right? She's being like Jesus. When Jesus answers a question, he gives a parable. So she's saying, look at the parable of Job in the Bible. And those of you who like Jobs, read Job. Right? Job is so blessed by the Lord. And here's the concept. He was righteous. Obviously, the Bible did say he was a man of righteousness. And he was an upright man. He sought to do right. But he hasn't got the concept of holiness yet. Until he met God. Because in part of his righteousness, there is, quote unquote, self-righteousness. And God dealt with his self-righteousness and he repented before God. Here's a man who has not committed any of the sins in the Ten Commandments, but he has to repent before God because of his self-righteousness when God revealed himself to him. So there is a difference there in righteousness and holiness. Any others? Yes. Oh yes, that one coming up. Let's have this one first. Holiness is walking in the righteousness. Righteousness is the gift of God. Is holiness also a gift?
Yes, but it's walking in the lifestyle of God, but it's still something that we do.
Okay. Yes, there's one coming up from this side. Lot was righteous, but was he holy? Okay, that's a good concept. You're asking a question back, right? Right, she's asking a question back. Was Job... Were you coming to say something? No? Anybody else? Yes, there's one from the back there.
Righteousness is more of a
language. Yes. 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 Okay. Now, you're coming close to that, closer and closer to those definitions, which is very good. See, the more we think about those concepts, the more clearer it becomes. So never ever be frightened of those Bible words like sanctification, righteousness, justification, predestination. Don't get frightened by this thing. Just keep praying to God and slowly you come to the thing. Now, that last one was quite interesting. And same with the question on Lot, saying, was God righteous but he was not holy? So obviously, we are coming to understand that God is big, right? If you don't realize how big God is, go back and borrow Clark's telescope and look through his telescope, and you realize that the more you see, the less we see, the less we realize we have. God is huge and big. The whole galaxy, we on the planet Earth is part, the third planet around our solar system. Our solar system is a part of one big giant galaxy. We think it's big, but there are four other bigger galaxies called the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is so huge that its longest length is 100,000 light years. A light year is the time it takes for light, which travels at 186,000 miles per second, to travel in 1 year. So you need 100,000 of those light years to cover the length of the whole galaxy. And you haven't even left our galaxy yet. You could travel for 100,000 light years. You haven't left the Milky Way yet. So for those of you Star Trek fans, all your Star Trek episodes happen within the Milky Way. Because the furthest that they ever went was 100,000 light years. Think about that. So all your Klingons, your Cardassians, your Deep Space Nine, all those, we know they don't exist, all revolve around the Milky Way. Think about that. They haven't even left the galaxy yet. And they have found that they have other galaxies beyond. And our God made all those things. That makes us feel very, very small. So when you realize that God is that big, righteousness and holiness relate to us in our relationship with God. Holiness relates to His character. His character. Righteousness relates to His works, His legal part of Him. So you begin to see that righteousness is an important concept when you want to do something in God. The other relationship is holiness has to do with your coming before God. It is consecration. It always gives the picture of us setting ourselves apart for Him, unto Him. So holiness is always towards God as you approach Him. We are giving ourselves unto Him. Which brings the concept that it is possible to be doing the works of God, but not consecrated to God. Can you see the dichotomy of the whole idea? Which is why you could have the concept that Job was doing something good. He was doing part of God's works in this earth with all His blessings and wealth. But he was not really consecrated to God yet. Fully. Now obviously there's a part consecration. As we know, there are different degrees of consecration and holiness. And for those of you first time hearing this message, remember the concept of progressive holiness is in the temple of Moses and in the temple of Solomon. There's the outer court, there's the holy place, and there's the most holy place. So the fact that there's a most holy place tells you that there are degrees and progressions of holiness. So there are different degrees in which you come into the character of God. And we all know that the more you know God, the more we need to understand more of His character and let His character become a part of us. So His character can become a part of us. Now we all know that character and works are two separate entities even within us. For example, you could go to Kohl's down the road here. And you could do all your shopping. That is there. You pay, and the sales girl counter can be rude, and don't greet you. Although they train to greet you, they train to be nice. But she can be rude. She can be abusive. But if she does her job, she does everything. Even she can snarl at you, and she still does her job. She does the calculations correctly, give you the right change and everything. The only complaint you have is her character. But you can't complain on her job. Now, in the secular world, you realize there are a lot of people out there like that. Some people out there, they do a good job, but they're not nice people. Right? You know them. You know some of them. Right? They're not nice people to know. But you know one thing, they can do a good job. But the sad thing is, sometimes, you know, that's not good either, not good enough. Like, you could be the best electrician or the best architect or the best lawyer in town and be a very terrible guy. People still need you because of your skill. They can't help because they cannot find anyone better, so they make use of your skill. So that's an example of the separation between works and character.